Our reading from the scriptures this evening is found in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And now here's our text. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We stop in our reading at that point. Our text is those verses 6 through 9 of Joshua chapter 1. Moses died. And we saw last week in those first five verses that God commissioned Joshua to take that land of Canaan. And he gave to them, especially in the fifth verse, three promises that were beautiful and powerful assurances that God would be sure that they got it. There shall not any man stand before thee. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee, and I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Those assurances that God gives, assurances of blessings, does not set aside our responsibilities. He says they're going to be successful from an earthly viewpoint. But that doesn't remove responsibilities. Instead, the assurances that God gives of his relationship with them and his sureness with which he will bless them gives incentive to fulfill their God-given responsibilities. In fact, we have to look at this the same way we do the introduction to the law. The Ten Commandments are given not only to be an instrument to show us how we fail and how much we need Jesus. That's one reason why we have those Ten Commandments, that law of God. But the introduction to the Ten Commandments, whether it's from Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5, explains that another purpose for the Ten Commandments, the law of God, is how we are to thank him. Here's your responsibilities. This introduction describing what God has done in delivering them out of the land of Egypt and making them his servants and promising to give them the land of Canaan serves as incentive for them to keep those commandments, to show their gratitude to God for that relationship that he has established with them. And so here, God gave them assurances. So now in our text, when God says, be strong and very courageous, most of us are going to initially think that that need for strength and courage is because of the enemies that they're going to have to conquer in the land of Canaan. But notice that in verse 7, God says, be strong and very courageous to observe, to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Be strong and of good courage to obey, because I've given you these promises and these assurances. And it's with that perspective, from that perspective, that we look at this second part of the commission that God is giving to Joshua. And then we would word it just that way. God's commissions Joshua to observe all of the law, all of God's law. We look at the setting first. God had promised the land of Canaan, assured him. Beautiful promises there in verse 5. And the way that they are going, God gives it, the land of Canaan, and the way in which they receive that land of Canaan is in the way of faith-governed fighting. The way God gives it, the way they receive it, is in the way of faith-governed fighting. They're going to have to fight. But their fighting is going to have to be governed by their faith in God and in his promises. God and in his relationship to them. The faith which is going to go with them as they fight is going to hold for truth what God has revealed to them in his word. The faith with which they're going to fight is going to be a faith that holds for truth what God has revealed. Their response to that is they're going to obey him. But now remember, what's the heart of obedience? What's real obedience? It's when you love him. So let's reword it. The faith which fights holds for truth that God, what God has revealed in his word, and loves him. Because that faith reveals God's love for them. And we love him because he first loves us. The word is going to reveal his love. That love is going to draw our love. We love him because he first loved us. Joshua faced some terrible possibilities. He faced a multitude of 1.75 million people, almost 2 million. They had flocks and herds. Now, a part of them were going to be able to stay on the east side of Jordan, but the vast majority of them he was going to lead through the Jordan River unto the land of Canaan. They were identified by God as a stiff-necked people. They weren't compliant. They weren't easy to get along with. They were a stiff-necked people. And then he would have to lead them into battle. There would be the same sorts of situation that the 10 spies 38 and a half years earlier, had said were so frightening that we ought not go in there because we can't take them. We're like grasshoppers before their giants. They have chariots and horses. We mayn't fight with chariots and horses. God won't let us. We have to fight on foot. They had to provide food because shortly after they went over the land of Canaan, over the Jordan River and into the land of Canaan, the manna would stop. He would have to make sure that all the complaints that had led to no water and no food when they were in the wilderness were still going to be there when they entered the land of Canaan. How would he do it? But Joshua and the children of Israel weren't the only ones who faced difficulties. The enemy that we call Lucifer, fallen Lucifer, is in charge of a host that is at war against us. We live in an ever-increasingly evil world. We have a proneness. Our look at the Catechism, Heidelberg Catechism, that part that we're in reminds us, how can we do it when we have a proneness to fall into sin and to hate God and our neighbor? When we look into the future and we know that Antichrist and the great persecution lies before the return of the Lord, and we can see that return coming, then we look at our children and we look at our grandchildren, we look at us. Will we be able to stand? Young people graduating from high school wonder, what's next? How do I know what God wants me to do? Young couples raising children not only are learning what it is to love correctly, but face the constant difficulty of living a sinner, living with another sinner. How do we do it? And then we raise sinners. And every age that they become, they show us other difficulties in the way in which we have to raise them and train them. And we realize very quickly, we can't give them faith. We can't make them internally obedient. We can't make them love God. How do we do it? God says to Joshua, the approach that you must have for today and the enemies you face and the prospect of the future is be without fear and without hesitation by laying hold on the God who's established a relationship of love with you. Know him better and better as he has revealed himself. Think more frequently of his promises, of the assurances that he gives to you directly and individually. Grasp them. Think about them. He promises his presence. And that promised presence produces strength of spirit and a courageous activity to go forward to do what he commands, come what may. These promises come to us from the omnipotent, the all-powerful, the almighty God. And his promises coming from that God are of sufficient strength to enable us to do valiantly. focus on him. Our nature, the old man, is going to focus on our situations. It's going to focus on the prospects. It's going to focus on ourselves. It's going to focus on how difficult it is. Then, like the 10 spies and the whole multitude of Israel that followed them, we're going to run. We're going to give up. We're going to say, before we even start, I can't do it. But the strength and the courage that's required to persevere through long marches and a campaign that took 7 years to conquer Canaan is going to arise from thoughts that focus on our God, his strength, his wisdom, his love. That last verse, 9. For Jehovah, thy God, is with thee in every situation, whithersoever thou goest. In the face of every fear, every frightening situation, Jehovah, thy God, your God, say it, my God, my God. Everything that he is, he uses for me. He is with me in every circumstance. At the risk of saying it too simply, our weaknesses and our fears are due because to the fact that we are not exercising faith in our God. One more time. And again, it might sound too simple. Our fears and our weaknesses are due to our failure to exercise faith in our God. We must look away from ourselves, away from our circumstances, away from our enemies and our difficulties. We must look unto him who says, I am with thee. I am with thee. I won't leave thee. I will not forsake thee. So God, very compassionately, encourages us because he knows our fears. There's that very interesting verse in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then in that 14th verse, it says, he knows our frame. He knows we are dust. He knows. And he blesses and promises, I'm with you. Three times in this packed text, three different times, 6, 7, and 9, God says, be strong and of good courage. Three times. I got it. I didn't get it the first time. Nor the second. This is something that we have to hear every day. This is something that we have to be told how many times a day. Be strong and of good courage. To be strong, literally the Hebrew word means to stand firm in the face of opposition. And to be of good courage emphasizes that we remain strong and solid while being battered, that we not panic, that we not run. Now, when God gives a command, let's be aware, just a minute, who's saying this to us? This command, be strong and of good courage, comes from Him. Now go to Genesis 1. Who, when He gave a command, it was done. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He issues that command to us the same way He spoke at creation. And when He spoke at creation, it took place. So when He issues that command to you and to me, then that command is accompanied by His Spirit who works in us the will to do, to obey, to want to do, and to do what He commands. One more time. When He issues that command to us, that command is accompanied by His Spirit who is working through that word to work in us, to want to obey, and to obey. Be strong and of good courage. Stand fast, stand firm. And when He speaks that to us, never doubt but that His Spirit is accompanying that. In Ezekiel chapter 24, verse 14, I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass. I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent, according to thy ways and according to thy doings. I, the Lord, Jehovah, have spoken it. It shall come to pass. I will do it. Be strong and of good courage. He's doing it. Even as He speaks and issues that command to us. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For the gospel, the good news, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We hear Him who has this relationship as described in the scriptures with us, we hear Him tell us, and that makes our focus go on Him. And the Spirit uses that knowledge of Him to make us want to be strong and of good courage, to stand fast, and that word in our looking at Him and focus on Him enables us to do that. Then you get this word. It's so simple. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? These things. Those are the all things that work together for good. To them who are the called according to His purpose. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So he speaks. So he commands. Now go back and take a look at verse 7. Be thou strong and very courageous. How are we going to fight? Where's our strength going to come from? Concretely, it's easy, Pastor, for you to say his spirit accompanies that and it works it in us. There's something magic about that? No. No, verse 7 is the step in between, and here it is. Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left. Observe, obey, listen, observe, obey, do what he commands us to do in his word. Yes, Joshua has to lead and Israel has to fight, but realize that the way to lead and to fight is love him. And again, at the risk of being too simple, just love him. Don't let anything detract you from loving him. Why? Because he loved you first. Look at what he's done for you. Look at how long he's loved you. Look at the promise he will never stop loving you. Think of his love. And the knowledge of his love for you, as he describes it in his word, is going to be the instrument that the Spirit's going to use to work that returning love to him. Then we'll fight. Then we'll lead. When my life is regulated by my love for him, when your life is governed by your loving him with everything you have, that's the way in which he calls us to fight. Love him. Fight loving him. Lead loving him. Be a wife loving him. Be a husband loving him. Be a student loving him. Because he first loved you. Now, he calls it the law in verse 7 and again in verse 8. Yes, that has commands, but that's not the key. Remember that, well, just running ahead just a little bit, Moses died, right? What did Moses do? Oh, yes, he led the children of Israel. What else did he do? Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible for the very first time. In the 2,600 years that preceded, they have the word of God written. Maybe only one copy, but they had the word of God written for the very first time. The first name that's given to the Bible is there in verse 8, the book of the law. Now remember, Jesus and the apostles, as they wrote from the New Testament perspective about the Old Testament, they called them the writings, the scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. But they also called it the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets. They were, that's the name for the Old Testament. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, who appeared to him? The law and the prophets, Moses and Elijah, representing all of the Old Testament scriptures to tell Jesus what he would have to do and the promises of eternal glory that would be given to him. When it's called the law, yes, it's rules and commands, but that's referring to the Bible as they had it, the Word of God as they had it. So see that word law, observe to do the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not to the right or the left away from straying from it, keep the word, read the word, know the word of God. And he says very carefully in verse 7, not only don't go to the right or to the left, but he also says, don't be a picker and chooser, but observe to do all the law. What are we going to read today? Well, here. Next day, over here. Next day, over here. No. Not either, well, I really like this one, so we're going to read that one, and we'll forget the other ones. No, read all of it. Strive to understand the more difficult parts in the light of the easier parts. Don't stray from all of the law. If we do not earnestly endeavor to keep all of God's word, then we're really lacking the spirit of genuine obedience. But be guided by that word. And verse 8 emphasizes that. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So, the first title for the Bible emphasizes the leading characteristic of it, whether it's the first five books, the Psalms, the poets, the prophets, the Gospels, or the epistles. It doesn't make any difference where you are. The leading characteristic of it is that it tells us how to live in light of the relationship that he has established with us. It tells us of his relationship. And that's what determines how we are to live, how we are to follow him. If God would just tell us of Jesus and his work, we would know what it commands us to do, what he wants us to do. But sometimes he has to deal with us as children. He has to be more specific. And he gives us those commandments. When we face perplexities and difficulties, follow God's word. And he says, let it not depart out of thy mouth. Joshua was to lead the children of Israel. He was to instruct them. He was to command them. He was to lead them. That would be by his example. And his example was a word that was loud. Parents, all parents know that. But it was also that which he would communicate orally. Speak it. Sing it. It is striking that in Deuteronomy 32, Moses wrote the law in the form of a song, and they sang it as a way to keep it before them. So whether there was just one copy or just a very, very few, nobody had it in their home, But they heard it over and over and over and over, and they could recite it and they could know it. As Israel's leader and as Israel's judge, it was his primary duty to issue no orders and to speak no words but those authorized to him by the rule of God's word. And meditate on it. Meditate. We read it. Do we meditate on it? By the way, when he says day and night, don't ever forget that the situation in which they lived was without electricity. Candles were expensive. So when they had slept fully and they were still night and dark, they guided their thoughts away from where it just went, but they took a hold of the reins of their mind and they guided it to the word. And they thought and made themselves think about God's word. They guided their thoughts so they could concentrate on it, so that it would deepen its impression on them, so that it would fasten its truth in their memories. Wait a minute. It's one thing to fasten the words. I can recite it. No, fasten its truth into our memories, so that it shapes and forms our conscience. What's right? What's wrong? So that it moves our wills. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide thy commandments within thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. Look at it later. Not to be corny, but to help us to remember. We cannot expect the God of truth to be with us if we neglect the truth of God. We cannot expect the God of truth to be with us if we neglect the truth of God. So then in that last verse, verse 9, for the third time, God says, be strong and of good courage. We need it repeated. We need to hear the same truths over and over. We need to keep our focus on Him who is our source of strength and courage. We need to get distracted from those things that can so easily distract us, so that we focus only on the Almighty, the One who is established and who maintains that most wonderful intimate relationship of being our God. Now notice how verse 9 begins with a question, a rhetorical question. Have not I commanded thee? A question. But a question which emphasizes the warrant of obedience comes from the Divine One. It's our God, the God who's established this relationship, my God, who issues this command. His authority carries that word. And he relieves us of our fears and of our cares and of our hesitancies. I, who command you, also promise to be with you, and I will not forsake you. I will be with you whithersoever you go. All of this does is points out that the life of faith consists of a life that's resolved to obey God, or to say it again, that life of faith consists, first of all, of a life that's resolved to love Him who loves me so much. It consists of a trustful seeking of strength from Him, that we may be able to do whatever He calls us to do. It consists of a laying hold of His promises as an incentive to perform all of our daily tasks, wash the dishes, do the mop the floor, make the meals, do your homework, do your work, trusting Him. This being the old dispensation of types and shadows, he ends that seventh verse with a promise of prosperity. You notice that? Observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Old dispensation, pictures and types, physical prosperity. But God says this to us in Proverbs 19, verse 11, in keeping them is great reward. And 1 Timothy 4, godliness is profitable, not only for this life, but also for that life which is to come. Our God knows His children. He knows His children. There's some children that know who to look to after worship services for some candy. Our God knows us. And as it is, as it were, that He promises some candy. When you observe, you shall prosper. God lets us know that when we conform to His will, though there may mean trials sometimes, and it will be some thorns in the flesh and some crosses, nevertheless, it brings us abundant fruit forever. Now, exactly how that is going to go, we don't know what that's going to be like in glory. But God doesn't take it away and say, well, we'll let you find out. He lets us find out the details later, but He wants us to know now. You obey all, not to the right nor to the left. And His promise is, your way shall prosper. He knows us well. So three times, be strong and of good courage. Amen. Bless this thy word. Carry it by thy spirit. Do it in us. And as we hear this word, there is a renewed resolve that thou hast worked in us, that we want to exhibit the strength and the spirit and courage of Joshua and of all the children of Israel as they march their way into the land of Canaan. Give that to us, Father, thou hast already. We thank thee. Keep giving it to us. Direct our thoughts to thee, our strength, our God. Amen.